Welcome to the Kings Island Central Podcast. KICentral.com is Kings Island's ultimate fan site. Now, here is your host, Robbie Zerhuizen.
Welcome to episode number 5 of the Kings Island Central Podcast. On this episode, we have a special guest, Evan, who is the YouTube user number 5 is alive. He is responsible for creating the fan concept for a Giga Coaster at Kings Island. We discuss his fan-made video and how it is not related in any way to any future plans at Kings Island. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Joining me is IndieGuy4KI.
Hello.
And we have a special guest, Evan Shore.
Present.
So I know you and I were talking a little bit ago, Evan, about you becoming active on KSC. So why don't you touch a little bit on that?
Yeah, so I've been hearing rumors about, you know, the Giga thing for a while, and my go-to spot for that was KI Central. I've been lurking for a long time, trying to dredge up anything about the Giga rumors, because as you know, they've been going for years and years and years, and everyone's wondering, when is it going to be? What's it going to be? And the only rumors that seem to have some legs were the ones that are saying that, you know, they're going to do something for 2019 or maybe for their anniversary. And so after following the conversation very, very closely, I decided, hey, I should join and actually take part in this conversation and throw my 2 cents in. So that's where I'm at now. I generally don't post anywhere else other than like that Giga thread, because that's kind of been my fixation as of late. So that's kind of where you'll find me on KSC.
So what is your screen name on Kings Island Central?
Ruthless Airtime, because that's one of my biggest favorites is Ruthless Airtime.
So do you consider yourself a coaster enthusiast?
Oh yeah, I have been for a long time. So I think when it really peaked was in middle school. I was always kind of afraid of roller coasters, and I don't really know when it started, but my dad would take me up to Kings Island when I was younger a lot. And I think Son of Beast is what really got me into the bigger rides. You know, I started out with Vortex, which it's not huge, but in the back you do get some serious ejector on that first hill, and then went over to Son of Beast, and that's kind of where it all, you know, became all-consuming. Done a few trips to Cedar Point, been out to Magic Mountain out in California, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I stopped paying attention for a while in like any, I think from like 2009 to probably 2015-ish, maybe 2016. And then started paying attention again. And I had no idea what had been built in that time. I think one of the first things I saw when I kind of came back into the fray was Intimidator 305. And I was like, oh man, I got to ride that, because I had done Millennium Force. And that thing just looked awesome. So it was kind of a shock to see what the coaster world had been doing as of late. RMC was a big surprise. And I remember IO305 being a big shock. So I've kind of been following stuff closely ever since then. It's been a lot of fun, because there's a lot of stuff happening now in the industry. It's you know, a lot of design changes happening pretty fast. So it's been interesting for sure.
Did you ride I305?
No, I haven't gotten to yet, but I'm dying to. I'm dying to.
What about Fury?
I haven't hit Fury yet, but that's on the list.
You need a road trip, dude.
I know. That's I'm trying to convince my brother to tag along this next summer. We did get to hit Steel Vengeance up at Cedar Point this summer, and that was legendary. So yeah, definitely Fury and I305 are the two big ones that are way up there on the bucket list. Those are like number one, number two bucket list items. So
what's your favorite ride at Kings Island and why?
Favorite ride at Kings Island is now it's Mystic Timbers. Just because Mystic Timbers was a total, it was kind of a sleeper for me. Like I totally did not expect it to be what it was. And I rode that one probably 2 weeks after I had ridden Steel Vengeance. So I was craving more of that, like that gnarly RMC airtime. And Mystic Timbers really packs a punch in that department. I totally did not expect it to have as much ejector as it did.
Right.
I think the all-star seat on Mystic Timbers is the back seat. It's not afraid to bully you, which is what I like about it. It really thrashes you around, but not in an unpleasant way, which I think is why it's my favorite. I really like Diamondback, but I mean, it's not quite ejectory enough for me, if you know what I mean.
Right. Well, I got to say, Mystic is one of my favorites in the park as well. It's just, it gives a totally different feel versus the Beast. So you, as far as I'm concerned, they're not in the same category, other than being wood coasters. And
right.
I love the Shed. I know a lot of people kind of bark at the Shed, but I love the Shed. I enjoy coming in, seeing what music we're going to get, what song, and you know what scene we're going to get. Monster. I don't know. I enjoy
right.
it.
And no, I'm
it's
on
one
your
of
team
my with, favorites in the park.
Yeah, I'm on Team Shed too. I thought that was a really clever way to make the stacking issue not so unbearable.
Right.
It's really nice to go into that shed and sit there on a hot summer day. It's like, it's kind of nice.
Right. You're not out in the sun. You're not in the rain if it's raining.
Yeah. Their problem was hyping it up. If they hadn't hyped it up, it'd be just a nice little addition. But everybody thought something crazy was in the shed. So.
Right. Well, you know, the enthusiasts did more of the hyping than the park for sure.
Yeah. And oops.
You know, they made the hashtag and everyone ran with it and they let themselves down.
Yeah, that's funny.
But that often happens with enthusiasts, no matter how big or small a ride is.
Right,
right,
exactly.
Yeah.
So for those of you who have not seen, Evan made a video and posted on YouTube called Kings Island 2020 Giga Coaster. So if you haven't seen it, you should go check it out. So,
yeah, Beast Unleashed.
Yep.
If you haven't watched it, now's the time to pause the podcast, go watch it, and come back, because that's what we're going to be talking about the rest of the time.
Yeah, go watch it so you have some information going in.
Yes. I was actually at Winterfest with my wife and my in-laws, and when we were getting food in the fest house, my father-in-law said, "Hey, did you hear about the Beast Unleashed video on YouTube?" And some guest that was talking to him about it. So
no way. Yep. That's hilarious. Did they think it was real? Were they like, oh.
They thought it was completely real. They're like, yeah, they're getting this coaster that's going to be called Beast Unleashed. I'm like, that's probably not legitimate.
That's so funny. I'm stunned at how many people don't read the description, like where I say that it's an unofficial concept. And like there's a huge description right there. If you click see more, like there's a whole, and I guess nobody reads that and everybody just thinks it's real.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm an evil person for not putting it in the title, but got to get them views, baby.
But I think part of it is your animation was really well done.
Yeah. I've always been sort of a video editor slash, videographer type guy. So I've got some editing tricks up my sleeve, and kind of my priority with that video was sort of telling a story and setting the stage and sort of, you know, building the tension before actually revealing the ride. And that news footage was just perfect for it.
Right.
I think I was driving when I was thinking about, you know, I was already building the concept, but I was thinking about how I wanted to present it. And then I remembered that news footage that existed. Because of the news coverage that they were putting on TV of removing Firehawk. And I was like, oh man, that would be the perfect way to kick this baby off. So that's what I did. And I think that gives it like sort of this weird air of legitimacy that it shouldn't have. But I really like the way it came out. I'm super pleased with it.
So the YouTube channel is Number 5 is Alive. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Of why you chose that screen name. For those who watched the video but didn't read the description, it says, "Rising from the ashes on the site where Firehawk once stood comes a new legend in the Beast family, Beast Unleashed, the world's tallest, fastest, and longest non-launched roller coaster. Standing 380 feet tall, the ride features a 410-foot 87-degree drop in a ravine and a max speed of 108 miles per hour. Coming spring 2020, discover the elusive experiment Number 5 lurking in the woods and make your escape from the Beast Unleashed." Now, at the end of the description, you have a disclaimer in all caps that states unofficial concept. And as the recording of this podcast has gotten over 155,000 views. So, after you posted on KIC, you got picked up by WCPO, John, how do you pronounce his last name?
I think it's Matt Reese.
Yes, Matarese.
By John Matarese and featured on the news. It took Kings Island fans by storm, and the park got many calls. We kept getting messages on the KIC social media platforms and on KIC, and other KI Facebook groups were overwhelmed with posts as well. Were you expecting that kind of reaction and attention from your video?
I wasn't expecting it, but that kind of was my goal, which was funny because as I was designing this thing, my brothers were in the loop. I told them about it. And they're like, what's your goal here? And I was like, well, all I'm trying to do is drum up the rumor mill. And they're like, do you really think it'll take off? And I was like, I'm not sure. And I think at the time they just thought I was strange for having this crackpot idea of like dropping this fake Giga Coaster and stirring up the rumor mill. But it really ended up taking off. And I think where it ended up taking off is where people saved the video and then released it on Twitter and Facebook separately. Mm-hmm. Like they just uploaded it themselves. And on those platforms, my claimer of unofficial concept did not exist. So I think that's why everybody thought it was real. And mm-hmm. then people were going back to rewatch it on YouTube. And I think that's where it really kind of caught fire. Definitely did not expect 155,000 views, though. That was pretty crazy.
Right.
So definitely very pleasantly surprised by that. And the real kicker was seeing it being picked up by John Matarese on the local news. That was bizarre. Never thought I would see it on the local news. Totally did not expect that at all. So that was right. kind of neat.
Well, he's done some stuff in the past when Firehawk was coming down. We had a couple concepts on KIC in the, Giga Thread. And, you know, we got people that are putting different concepts and paint ideas out there using Microsoft Paint and creating Gigas.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And, you know, I think 6.0 Diesel Rage had kind of plotted the land out, and he used that on the air as well in one of them. So the news definitely looks at us quite a bit to see what we're talking about.
Yeah, John Matarese seems to be a bit of a coaster nut. Like, I'm surprised at how much he seems to know about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he learns from KI Central.
I bet he lurks there pretty frequently.
I'm sure he does. The question is does he actually go to the park to ride the rides?
That's what I want to know. And I want to know if he's a front seat or back seat guy.
Maybe we need to interview him next time, next podcast.
There you go. There's a high level goal.
Interviewer.
That would be funny.
Or the interviewee.
So just to further establish for any of you that are just joining in late and missed the entire first portion of the podcast, this YouTube video that Evan created was not created by the park, and it is not any indication of what the park is getting this year, next year, or in the future. It is just Evan's hope for what the park could get.
My hopes and dreams. If it looks anything even slightly resembling that, I'll be overjoyed. Any sort of terrain giga would be a miracle.
So before we go any further talking about the actual video, because we want to kind of break it down just a little bit on your concept there, can you tell us, were you hired by the park to make this concept as an employee, subcontractor, or anything like that?
I was not. This is entirely my own doing.
And you don't work for the park in any way?
I don't. In no respect do I work for Cedar Fair.
Okay. Well, just want to make like that to. Clear.
I would love to. I think that'd be fun, but no, I don't.
Well, you know, in the rumor mill that, you know, you did a really good job of rummaging up. You know, people thought, my gosh, this is such a good video. This had to have been a leak from the park, you know? So,
well, all you have to go on is my word. So,
right. So it's a really good video. I think we've established that. And for those that stopped the podcast and watched it and or had seen it previously before tuning in here, how much time do you have into this?
So I think I have roughly, not counting the editing time, about 100 hours, because I run No Limits through Steam, and that logs your hours in the game. And I have 100 hours in just designing it, and then probably 20 to 30 more hours editing the video. And this was all done over the course of maybe 2 months from wow. idea inception to design to video editing to final release. So, and it was part of the reason I wanted to do it was because I'd always been trash at No Limits. And I wanted to get really good at it. And mm-hmm. so once I discovered that, you know, that they had all kinds of advanced tools in there that are new from when I previously used it from several years ago, it was go time. I couldn't stop and I couldn't pry myself away. So I really sunk some time into it to actually get good at it. And I think 100 hours will do that for you. So,
right. So your YouTube channel is called Number Five is Alive. Why that name?
I picked that because of the posters that have been popping up around. I think they popped up at Cedar Point originally, right? The posters that were saying that they had found Number Five and it was alive, and they were working on bringing it back into service, and they were looking for, and it seemed to be a teaser for something that was coming to Kings Island. So I wanted to capitalize on that because I've seen people use the Number Five name as a reference to Son of Beast. Mm-hmm. So the entire theming of Beast Unleashed is this idea that they've found Number Five and they're resurrecting it. So that's kind of why I picked it.
So that is your inspiration with your video.
Yeah, that was the entire sort of thematic element I was going for. That's sort of what birthed the whole idea, was that poster and all the Giga rumors.
So do you think Number Five is alive?
Oh boy, I hope so. I know a lot of people don't want to see a steel sort of revamp or a steel tribute to Son of Beast. They think it should be wooden. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think it's the perfect opportunity to capitalize on the lore that already exists. I mean, I think the general public would go nuts to hear that there was going to be a quote-unquote steel version of the Beast that was gnarlier, faster, taller. I think that would sell really well. But who knows what King's Island's brewing up? Nobody knows.
Right. Was there anything else other than the Beast that was your inspiration for your Giga concept?
I've got a lot of elements in there that are from Fury 325 and Intimidator 305. So a lot of those really whippy transitions you see are an inspiration of, you know, I-305 and Maverick. Maverick's always been one of my favorites. And I really like those whippy transitions. And part of that comes from my frustration from B&M kind of playing it safe with some of their elements. I think those four wide trains are a massive opportunity for some crazy turn transitions. And I'd like to see them do some of that in the future. I think that'd be cool.
But, you need to go ride Fury, dude.
Yeah, I know, man.
Because they have some of those on there.
I need to get up there. Ow.
I assume that was why you put those transitions into your concept, because you had ridden Fury and knew that those are really cool.
No, elements. I actually haven't. I love the idea of Fury. That's my number one bucket list coaster. And knowing what those transitions feel like on stuff like Maverick, that gives you an idea of how great those would be on a four wide train. So that's why those are in there. And there's also a reverse treble clef element Fury has. It's just backwards. I've always thought it'd be cool to kind of enter that as a wave turn and then go down the helix. Mm-hmm. So that's also part of the inspiration. But yeah, very heavily inspired by Fury 325, both in track profiling and support design.
Right. You have any questions, Robbie?
I was just going to say, don't feel bad, Evan. I haven't been down to ride Fury 325.
I think it's on a lot of people's bucket lists.
Well, I've ridden it. I've ridden I-305. The only one I haven't got to is Canada's Wonderland to ride theirs.
Yeah, Leviathan.
Yeah, I always have trouble pronouncing that.
No, I have been on Leviathan.
How was that one?
To me, it was just kind of like a bigger version of Diamondback. It wasn't really anything special other than just being taller.
Yeah, it just has your standard floater airtime hills and nothing right. really that stands out.
See, but now when we talk about that and we go to Fury and they have all the transitions in it, you know, was it B&M trying to play it safe before, or was it when they got to Carowinds and they said, we want something, you know, with a little more oomph into it to set it apart from Intimidator?
Yeah, I've wondered about that. I almost wonder if Fury 325 is the first of sort of a more intense B&M, you know, kind of stepping up the intensity and the sort of bully right. around. Because a lot of manufacturers are doing that now that RMC is doing it. They see what RMC and I305 did, and a lot of manufacturers, they're getting whippier, they're getting tighter, all that stuff.
That's a very good adjective you used, whippier, because like Steel Vengeance, I would say that fits perfectly.
Yeah, especially that like the upward zero G roll and the twisted snake dive. That yeah. fits into that whippy description perfectly.
Now, have you been to Kentucky Kingdom?
You know, so it's funny. I went to school in Louisville. I went to University of Louisville. Kind of dropped off the map in terms of coaster enthusiasm there because I was so focused on school. I've never gotten a chance to go to Kentucky Kingdom because I've heard it's just a bummer of a park. Other than Storm Chaser, I need to get down there and ride Storm Chaser because I've heard that is great.
I was just going to mention the Storm Chaser is an incredible ride.
Yeah, I was there when they were building it, and I saw that zero G roll drop pop up, and I was like, that is crazy. And I actually ran into some of the construction workers at a subway that I lived near. There were a bunch of guys in RMC jackets, and I was like, oh my gosh, are you guys building Storm Chaser? And so that was kind of cool.
Oh, that is cool. Yeah, Kentucky Kingdom is not a really big park. I think Lightning Run's a really good coaster too. I think it's yeah. right up there with Lightning Run, or Storm Chaser, excuse me. But you know, after that, Thirlwood's okay.
Yeah, I was never willing to pay the full admission price just to go to, you know, a park that had two good rides and then like an SLC. Oh, you'll never find me on one of those.
Yeah, but a couple years ago, they had a discount where, like, Ohio residents could visit for, like, $30 and you get, like, a free drink wristband, and it was a two-day ticket.
Oh, I did not know about that, huh?
It was a pretty good deal because I know my wife and I went down there, and we spent the morning riding rides, and then we went over to the water park, and all we had to pay for once we got there was our meals.
Yeah, that park, I think, is more about the water park because I hear they got a really good water park. The two times I've been there, we didn't go into the water park, but we were kind of limited on time. It was a stop in, ride everything we wanted and leave. But that pass is a pretty good deal. I think they still have it. I know for Indiana residents, it's like $30. You could go 2 days, but you know, it's always kind of on our way back from Hollywood Nights or some on our way through there, we stop in for a little bit.
And of course, yeah. they have a new one coming this coming year.
Yeah, Did you guys see that Planet Coaster concept they had?
Yep.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, Kentucky Kingdom, I think they're always going to be sort of like a water park, park, for lack of a better word, because they have that hard deck where they can't build above however many feet because they right. are right in the final approach for the Louisville Airport. And those planes, when they come in, they feel like they're scraping the university buildings, and Kentucky Kingdom is even farther down that lane. So they're oh, probably really? Only 300 feet up when they come in. So they're never going to have a tall ride. So I think they're forever going to be focused on packing a punch into short rides and then focusing on their water park. So right. we'll see what they do with that.
They seem to be doing well at. So
yeah, from what I've heard.
They're getting props.
They're really they killing it with doing the small pretty well.
So getting back to the Giga video, why call it Beast Unleashed? I know you kind of talked about the beast concept, but why Unleashed at the end?
Because it's sort of, I viewed it as sort of a rebirth of the beast in a way. I was kind of obsessed with the idea of a terrain Giga because that area behind Firehawk is just perfect for it. Granted that they can build back there, I don't know what their building permissions are, but providing they have all the land down to the Little Miami River or most of it, that's a perfect opportunity to build something that goes racing down that hill. And that's very similar to what the Beast does. It's a very similar type of ride. And I think that'd be really cool to do that with a steel ride. So I was like, oh, let's call it Beast Unleashed. You know, it's like a rebirth of the Beast, but in steel fashion.
Right. So looking at some of the comments on your video, it stands 80 foot tall, but the drop is over 400 feet.
Right.
So yeah. There was some conversation on whether is it a Giga or a Strata.
So
how to respond to that?
I personally call it a Giga because when I think of Stratos, I don't think of something that has a 400-foot drop, but based, like, you know, already starts on terrain. People talk about how it's the drop that matters, right? But when I think of a Strata, I think of something that is massive and towering 400 plus feet over the ground itself. If you were to build a roller coaster on a mountain that was only, you know, 30 feet high over the terrain, but dropped 400 feet, that to me, that wouldn't feel like a true Strata because it's not above the ground, right?
Right.
And looking at this from a marketing standpoint, from a hypothetical point, if Kings Island were to build this, how cool would it be to have something that would be the world's tallest Giga for a very long time purely because you had a 410-foot drop, even though it was only, you know, 380 or 390 foot tall. And unless someone built something that was 395 feet tall, you would forever have the tallest Giga.
Right.
And I think that from a marketing standpoint, I almost think they would want to go that route instead of calling it a Strata, because that would cement your title for quite a long time if you could do that. You could still have the longest drop on a Giga ever, unless somebody else had a terrain situation where they could do the same thing. I think that'd be a smart thing to do from their standpoint.
We get a Giga coaster with a Strata first drop.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So you can kind of slide into both of those little marketing terms. And like the categorizations are marketing terms as is. Like they're very wishy-washy. You have stuff like Steel Eel, which is only like, what, 100 something feet? 180 or something. And people still call that a hyper. And then you have all the B&M dive machines that are over 200 feet. Is that a hyper? I don't think they're hypers, but technically they are hypers. So I don't know. The terms are loosey-goosey and people can call it whatever they want. If they want to call it a Strata, that's fine by me. Hey, it's a Strata. That's cool. That'd be the first B&M Strata. That'd be wild. So I'm not super married to either term or the other. I just called it a Giga because my understanding was that it was from above the ground height. It's not drop, but some people say it's drop. So whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, calling Surf Dog a roller coaster. Some, you know, the park does, and some people say it's not. So, you know, it's just whatever you want it to be, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I'm totally okay with people calling it a Strata. Doesn't bother me.
So how long is the coaster? I didn't see it anywhere in the video of how many feet the coaster is.
It's on the, I can't remember off the top of my head. It's in the description for the POV. 8,207 feet.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that long.
So it's really, yeah, that thing just chomps through track. Because that first, that first, like, maybe 30 seconds where it's going through all those low terrain turns. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is hauling. It's going like 108 miles an hour. So it is just eating up track.
Right.
So that would also, I believe, make it the longest coaster in the country.
Yeah, I think it would. I think it would be the longest in the world. Am I wrong about that? Is there anything longer?
I'd have to check.
Because I think
people listening go, yes, yes, yes. And, you know,
yeah, everybody's getting mad at us right now. Because the only one I can think of is Steel Dragon.
Steel Dragon is the currently longest in the world at 8,133.2 feet.
Aha, so I did beat it. I knew I fact-checked that before I put it in the video. Because I did say it was the longest.
Mm-hmm.
The Beast is currently the third longest in the world.
Wow. Still the third longest in the world? I did not know that. That's crazy.
According to RCDB, it's the third longest behind Steel Dragon and the Ultimate.
That is wild. I had no idea it was still the third longest. That's crazy.
And coming number five on that list is Fury 325 at 6,602 feet.
And where's Voyage? Is it number four?
Voyage is eighth.
It's eighth?
Eighth. Huh.
Didn't realize it'd fallen that far down.
Millennium Force is sixth. And then Formula Rosa at Ferrari World in Abu Dhabi is seventh.
Yeah. Yeah, I built it that long because I figured that if Kings Island is going to build a ride, assuming that they're going to build a Giga based on the Beast, which they probably won't. That was just my universe I was operating in. If they did do that, they would want to shatter every record. Otherwise, it wouldn't be worthy of the Beast title.
I agree with that.
Yeah, yep. It would have to be pretty gnarly to to hold that. So,
so why break 100 miles an hour?
That's the current, you know, giga threshold that we haven't broken yet. We've gotten close. I mean, all the gigas that have been built have gotten so close. And all it takes is a little more height to break that barrier. And I think if King's Island can do it with that terrain, they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. They could use another record breaker. I mean, we've gotten a lot of rides from King's Island that weren't, like Diamondback wasn't really a record breaker in any respect. And if I think if they're going to do another big ride like that, I would hope that they want to break some records. So the 100 mile an hour barrier seems like an easy one to break, you know, world's fastest giga. I think that'd be a big one for them. That'd bring people from all over the place.
Right.
And also I just want to go fast. So.
Why did you decide on that color scheme?
Because I really wanted it to blend into the terrain. If I was adhering to the Beast lore, it'd be a shame to have a, you know, a laser purple ride sticking out of the woods. That's kind of the beauty of the Beast, is it blends into the woods and you can't really tell where you're going to go. So I went with that sort of like dark green and beige support scheme because I'd seen it work really well on, I think it's Montu. Is that the right, the inverted one that's like blue and like light brown? And people really love that color scheme. So I was like, oh, well, let's do green and light brown. Because originally I wanted to do brown like the Beast, but a giant brown giga looks absolutely terrible. I can't emphasize that enough. Don't do that, because I did color it brown at one point, and it just looked awful. It was so bad.
Really?
Yeah. So the only other option to blend in with the woods was green. And I was like, well, it's going to be green.
Right.
Which I got some backlash for people that were like, yeah, same color scheme as Fury 325. And I'm like, yeah, the only thing that's the same is the green stripe. It's like, it's all green. It's not blue. But I think the stripe could be purple and it'd still look nice. And it would make it different enough.
Mm-hmm. Now, I had this wrong in the last time we were talking about Fury. But it does not have an MCBR. It does have a trim brake, and that's what I was confusing when I was talking in the last podcast. But it does not have an MCBR. You do have one in your concept, even though it looks like it doesn't quite, you know, stop it. Why do you have one in your concept?
Yeah, no, that brake run doesn't slow it down at all while the ride is running. Okay. I just figured if you're going to build a ride that's going to smash records at one of the most visited parks in the U.S., you want the thing to be a people eater, right? You want it to just have ridiculous capacity. So without an MCBR, you can't really do that as much. Once that train hits the MCBR, you can send another train, and that's all well and good because you're eating through people. Otherwise, you have to wait for it to hit that final brake run. And I can imagine the lines for this thing being insane. So having the MCBR was the goal behind that, was to keep the lines shorter. So that was purely from a capacity standpoint. Gotcha. And I know a lot of people hate MCBRs, but that that brake run was actually really useful for getting that track out over the next ravine, to have that second drop off the track be like your average B&M hyper drop, which I thought was really cool.
Right. So do you have the numbers on adding an MCBR and with or without it on capacity?
No, I don't. That was purely intuition. Yeah, I know. Sorry.
That would be really cool if you had that.
Yeah, I know. And now I'm thinking about it, and I could probably go in and do the math on that and see how long it takes to complete a circuit without an MCBR. That'd be interesting to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it saves you like 30 seconds between trains. So when you're running three trains, I think that's pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get frustrated with slow lines, so I wanted an MCBR to have a fast line.
Well, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah, I also didn't realize that almost no gigas have mid-course brake runs. That's just not something I ever thought of.
Right.
And someone brought that up, and they were like, why does this have an MCBR? No gigas have MCBRs. And I was like, is it true? And I looked it up, and sure enough, it holds pretty true. I think most gigas do not have MCBRs. I think it's just because they burn through their circuits so fast that they don't necessarily need them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not, but that seems to be the case.
Or maybe they can't stop the train.
Yeah, it's just going way
totally
too fast.
Screwing up their pacing.
Yeah, and I also think that if they if they did want to put in an MCBR, it'd have to be like ludicrously high, because you don't want it roasting through at like 60 miles an hour, right? So you have to climb this massive hill and go up to this MCBR that's just like towering in the air, which is maybe not something they want to do.
Well, that being said, I mean, the final break run of Fury starts off pretty high, doesn't it, Brad?
Yeah, it does. It comes in pretty quick still, even then.
Oh, so it really still has some speed at the end of that circuit?
Yeah, it does. I'd be guessing if I gave a number, but it sits, I think, even more of an angle than the break run of Diamondback. You're sitting, you know, kind of facing down there at the end as it comes back in.
It's really steep, yeah.
Yeah.
That would explain, that makes sense. If it's like, what would you say, Robbie? It's like 6,000 something feet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense that it would have that much speed at the end of that circuit. Which seems like it was purely a budget thing for them. Like they had already blown through a budget on 6,000 plus feet of track, and they just couldn't do any more.
Now, you told us earlier about the transitions and such. Tell us more about your layout and the elements you put in it.
Yeah, so the layout was kind of basically birthed from the topography that I put into the designer into No Limits. I realized that you could, with some trickery, you can import topographic data from Google. Mm-hmm. So I literally imported the topographic data from Google from that site into No Limits and built on top of that terrain. Wow. And the idea there was to use that hill to get going ludicrously fast. And you can do that pretty easily by going down that hill. So you just go blazing fast for just a short duration. And then as you climb back up the hill, you conveniently bleed momentum right back down to a more sane speed so that you're not just burning through track throughout the entire duration of the ride. Like once you get back up that hill, you're going a more reasonable 80 or 90 miles an hour, which is more standard for a Giga. Right. So it gets you going real fast, real quick, and then you come back to a more sane speed to keep the budget low, because I didn't want any massive airtime hills. And if I was going 108 miles an hour and wanted to put in an airtime hill, it'd be ridiculously huge. So that first section is really focused on positive G-forces. Like that first turnaround is about 4.5 positive Gs, which is pretty substantial. You get, I think in those turn transitions, those bank transitions, a lot of those are actually airtime transitions. So you get about a half to negative one Gs in those. And then once you get back up into the hill, you get more of your standard hyper Giga layout with like airtime hills. You get that reverse treble clef. You get, after the brake run, you get that turnaround element, which you see on other hypers. So I wanted it to be a hybrid of something we've never seen before, which is those really low, fast turns. Again, Fury has some of that, but this one's way faster and whippier. And then have some of your standard airtime hills and that kind of thing. So
right.
It's kind of a hybrid of two of the worlds.
Do you think the park will use any of what you saw or what they saw in your video?
You know, part of me is hoping that. Giga,
you know, we're kind of on the assumption.
I was going to say that's assumed
it's coming, but we don't want to say that either.
Right. That would be really cool to see that happen. But I also don't know what the design timeline is for a project like that. Like, I don't know if B&M already has a CAD model, already has schematics. I don't know if that's already existing. They might already be pumping out track. I'm not sure what the timeline is on construction like that. Do you guys know? Because I don't.
No idea.
Yeah, so I have no idea. But yeah, that was part of sort of like, I don't know if it's naive or not, but that was sort of like a small hope I had, was that like, if Kings Island isn't thinking about a terrain Giga, they should be. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that'd be cool if it ended up being a terrain Giga. I'd be super hyped. I'll never know if like them seeing the video had influence on that. If they're going to build it in 2019, though, I'd imagine they already have something drawn up and planned. It'd be weird if they didn't.
Well, I know Mike Coons at the last Coasters Talk said that they had submitted to corporate that we wanted a Giga at the park. So, you know, hopefully it's just a matter of time when corporate accrues the money to give us a Giga.
Yeah, I really think a Giga would make them a destination park. It's like, it's that one thing that they just don't have yet that would really put it on the map. Mm-hmm. I think that and maybe like an RMC would really make it somewhere that people want to make a trip to.
Right. Well, I think people still come there for the Beast and Diamondback.
Yeah, that's true.
For sure. So I already considered a destination, but I kind of see where you're saying too. They definitely could use a Giga for sure.
Right. I guess I just don't think of it as a destination because I grew up around here and I've been going there all my life. So like, I guess some of the magic has like sort of worn off.
Right.
And when I think of destination parks, I think of like, I don't know, Cedar Point or like Magic Mountain that just has like this crazy buffet of like nutso roller coasters.
Uh-huh. Plus, we really don't have a resort on property anywhere. I mean, you got Great Wolf Lodge, but, you know, it's to me, that still seems separate from the park because it is. You know, you're not necessarily on the property, and it's kind of part of where you are, you know?
Yeah, we don't have, like, a Breakers resort right. or anything. Do other Cedar Fair parks tend to have that? Or is that just, like, special to Cedar Point?
Well, I think Carowinds is working on
Carowinds is building one. Canada's Wonderland's building one. Both Carowinds and King's Dominion still have their campgrounds, and I believe Knott's Berry Farm has a hotel as well. It would not surprise me if they end up building more hotels neighboring their parks in the future.
Yeah, it seems like Great Wolf Lodge is designed to fill that niche, even though it is separate.
Right. And I don't know if they have any more property in that area where they could build any more or not.
Especially with so many of their parks now having Winterfest, I could see them wanting to build a hotel so they can try and get more of the visitors' money other than just admissions, food, and merchandise.
Yeah, and Great Wolf Lodge is totally unaffiliated in every respect, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I almost wonder if it would, even though it's unrelated, I wonder if it would be hard to fill up their own resort with Great Wolf Lodge right there. I mean, that's some pretty heavy competition.
Yeah, I wonder if they ever thought about buying Great Wolf Lodge.
I guarantee you that has been something that's been pitched in meetings. I'd be surprised if they haven't talked about it.
Yeah.
Well, my brother used to work at that Great Wolf Lodge doing water park maintenance, and almost every December that place sells out. And you can't even get a room.
In December?
That's
wow.
Amazing.
Yep. And I mean, they're charging something ridiculous, like $180 to $200 a night per room.
Jeez. Huh. I wouldn't have thought that place would sell out in December. I would have figured that Great Wolf Lodge is like the last thing anyone's thinking about in December, but I guess it's indoor. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's somewhere to go that you don't have to worry about the elements outside. You don't have to leave your room. You got a water park right there.
Where it's always 84 degrees.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, we've done the KIC winter party there for the last several years, and we normally did it in December, and we're doing something different this year because last year when we had it there, everyone wanted to go to Winterfest because Winterfest was open. So it's like, do we stay at the hotel and play at the pool and the water park, or do we go to Winterfest where, you know, we have a meal plan and we get in for free with our pass, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of lost its charm going to Great Wolf Lodge because, like, we paid all this money to be at Great Wolf Lodge, but we're heading over to the park, so.
That's funny. Yeah, you were kind of competing with Kings Island, and all the coaster nuts wanted to go over there, so.
Right, exactly. That's so funny. What do you think the park thinks about your video? I'm sure they've seen it and looked at it. What do you think they're thinking?
I so wish I could be a fly on the wall for those conversations between like the higher up execs, because I know they've seen it. I know the PR guys have seen it because John Matarese, when he reported on it, he went to them for comment. Mm-hmm. And whoever their PR guy is, I can't remember his name, he said, you know, we can't comment on it, but it's fun to see what the fans come up with, isn't it? So I don't know what they think of it as far as like feasibility and like compared to what they already have planned out, but I do get the vibe that they very much enjoy the buzz. Like any sort of buzz or rumor, I think they take what they can get. Mm. So I was kind of worried they'd be mad at me when I published it, but I don't think they are. So,
well, here's my take. I think it's a double-edged sword for the park. And right. Here's why. It gets people talking about the park. That I know they like. But it also gives a false sense the park is getting something that it's not. So even if we do end up with a coaster in 2020 or whenever, a Giga, some people might be expecting your concept because they saw it on WCPO with John, saw it on YouTube and whatever. They're expecting what you had created and be disappointed when they get to the park when it's something different. You know?
Yeah, that's possible. But then that's their fault for not having good reading comprehension or listening to John closely, because he did say it was a rumor. So,
yeah, but that's my next question for you. Your video clearly states unofficial, but it seems fans really loved your concept and want it to become reality. Do you think people just didn't want to accept that part of your description that it was unofficial and because they loved it that much and that's what they're hoping for?
Maybe. That's really flattering if they're just willing to like believe that it is real and that it's some undercover, you know, PR agent publishing this thing, you know, going rogue. But
right.
I mean, it's all fine and dandy to hope for that. But I also realize that very much may not be what they're planning on. I mean, it might be a wing coaster. It might be a dive coaster. Who knows?
Right.
If it's either of those things, I'll be heartbroken along with everyone else. So I'm right there in that boat. If anyone else is bummed out, me too.
Right.
So, yeah, I really want it to be a Giga. Yeah, and I know a lot of people think it's real. That definitely came from the people who downloaded that video from YouTube and then posted it on like Twitter and Facebook without the description. Mm-hmm. So I totally did not foresee that happening.
Well, I think that part of, you know, people just thinking this is real, I'm not sure how much the park appreciates that part.
They probably don't. Yeah, they definitely don't.
That part I can see where that could cause a problem for them because there's this false sense of, hey, we're getting a Giga and this is what it looks like and it's going to be this tall, this big, and maybe that's not the direction they're planning on going. So, you know, I could see where that could cause some concern for them.
Yeah, throw a little bit of a wrench in the gears.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, man, they've been having these Giga rumors for years. And if they're not planning on building one, I don't know what to tell them. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
Like, guys, we've been clamoring for this for years. So, yeah, who knows? I do wonder what they think about it.
Well, and then, you know, your general public, people that come, even pass holders that, you know, just come enjoy the park because they live close and what have you, they didn't know what a Giga was, you know, probably until the last couple of years, and specifically now after John is got his big map out there on the TV, we're getting a Giga, you know.
Yeah.
And he describes that's a 300-foot tall coaster. So, you know, people are now starting to get to terms because the news is teaching them about what some of these concepts are.
Yeah, I almost wonder if they weren't planning on doing a Giga at first. I almost wonder if these rumors being out of control is to some degree forcing their hand to do it. Even before my video, like the rumors were out of control before then with like the Firehawk removal, et cetera. I almost wonder if that's giving them sort of a read on public opinion towards that Giga. And if they're not seeing this reaction and saying this would be a good thing to do, then I don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. Well, and people seem to run wild with everything. You know, even the Five is Alive posters, that could just be, you know, clever marketing and has nothing to do with anything. It could be, I hate to bust your bubble if if it's not. But let's just talk about Firehawk for a minute. You had everyone thinking it was going down to Kentucky Kingdom because they had a, you know, advertisement of theirs that said something about Flyer, you know, and the timing was just kind of weird for Firehawk to be coming down and Kentucky Kingdom to be getting a coaster that was called Kentucky Flyer, you know.
Yeah, I remember that. It's very easy to connect dots like that and be like, oh, it's for sure this. And then right. In hindsight, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess that didn't really make sense.
So, and speaking to that, I just want to stress to everybody that Evan stated earlier that he did not work in any capacity for the park and making this Giga concept. And you know, one of your things was you just kind of wanted to put some rumor mill stuff out there. I think you were very successful in that.
I mostly just wanted to get people talking. Like, I wanted people to see this concept and then talk about whether that was possible or not. The thing that really motivated me to do this was another guy on YouTube. His name is iDesign. He had a concept for the Kings Island B&M Giga. And I saw his concept and I was like, I want to do that. So I designed my own and put it up there. And my hope was that I would see a flood of No Limits concepts from people who are saying, I'd like to see this. I'd like to see this.
Right.
Just igniting the conversation was kind of the goal there, because I'd like to see what people think it's going to be. And I don't know why that is. I love to follow the rumors and see what people think and compare that to what we end up getting. So we'll see. It could be a B&M flyer. That's all we don't know.
Yeah. Or Wing Coaster.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Wing Coaster is more likely than the flyer.
Yeah. Or dive. Who knows?
If it's a dive, I'm going to cry.
But, you know, for those that aren't certain about, you know, is this concept real? Is what's going on here? Is this video I'm seeing on Twitter that has no description on it? Or, you know, I don't like to read the description. How do I validate that this might be real? Everyone needs to know that the park is going to start teasing a new coaster or ride at the park, and they're going to be the source of that information. And it's going to go to the news, and the park is going to take responsibility for that information. You know, they're not going to, when they get interviewed, they're not going to say, hey, it's kind of cool to speculate, isn't it? Like I think Chad said when you mentioned that earlier, you know, they're going to own up to saying, yes, this is us, and this is something we're putting out, and we're advertising.
Yeah, and so if it doesn't come from Kings Island social media, it's not real. And Beast Unleashed is fake. To everyone who might be listening, it's fake.
You know, it's making its way around, and, you know, people want to know if it's factual or not. But, you know, what you just said is what I was going to say, too, is make sure you check Kings Island website and social channels. If it's not there, more than likely it's a fan-made video, and they're just having some fun. And check KI Central's website, because as soon as the park sends something out to the news and us, we put it out there. We have a forum on KI Central that's called Kings Island Central News. That is all for news that's coming straight from the park that we get, that we put out there. So I'm the one who puts that news out there, because they send me the news releases. So once I get a news release, it gets put out there, and so then I'll put it on social media. But I'm not going to – if you noticed, I didn't put your concept out there on our social media. Because
what? You didn't, say, look at what they're building.
Right. I'm not going to, on our social media sites, post something about a Giga concept, because I don't want that to be misconstrued as factual. And so if you don't see it on our channels or the Kings Island channels and on their website, then more than likely it's just a fan-made video. So that's a good way to check to see, you know, if it's real or not. That can be everyone's fact checking. That seems to be big these days. If you're not certain about a video, if it's real or not, come check us, and definitely check the Kings Island website and social sites. If it's not there, more than likely, it's not a real live Giga coming.
And like when Carowinds announced Copperhead Strike, they sent out an email the day they announced it to all the people that had signed up for their email newsletter. And as we were recording this, I got a Kings Island email newsletter talking about the construction of the Kings Mills Antique Autos. So There's another way you can verify what Kings Island's up to.
Yeah, if Kings Island's building a Giga and they're investing that kind of time, they're going to market it really good. You know,
yeah, that's they're going to blow up Kings all Island, the channels they have.
Kings Island is good at marketing new rides. So, you know, definitely make sure you're checking their sites and us to make sure that something's real. If you're not sure, you can message us, because I don't know how many answers of is this Giga coming? Answer when that video came out. We got
really you got flooded with messages of people asking if it was real.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to be the first to apologize for your inbox.
Yeah, we got quite a bit.
Oh man, that's so funny. Oops. Yeah, I'm amazed at the people that just even in the YouTube comments that were like, wow, I'm glad I have a pass, or I'm gonna get a pass next year. Time to go to King's Island. It's like, dudes, it's in the description if you just read it.
Yeah. People just watch. Maybe next time, if you make another one, maybe put a disclaimer at the beginning of the video too.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I just
anyone out there that's going to make any type of video concept for the park, if you happen to, please put a disclaimer at the beginning of the video to not make it any more confusing.
That shocked me because that's the first thing I do when I see something like that is I open the description. Like iDesign's video for Steel Beast, first thing I did was like, whoa. And I opened the description and it was like unofficial concept. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. Got it. It's like, dudes, read those descriptions.
Yeah. Put it at the beginning of the video and at the end too, you know, and in your credits. Yeah.
Big bold font.
Yes. Want to make sure we're clear on that.
I think we've been pretty clear. Yeah. So people don't get it by now. They're beyond help.
Yeah. They probably won't get it even if they were at the park and told by the park.
Yeah, well, I think I covered everything regarding the Giga that I wanted to. I hope you guys did too as well.
Yeah, I mean, we appreciate you putting that out there and talking to us about it. But, you know, if there's other people who are going to do that, please put the disclaimer in your video that it's a fan-made concept.
Yeah, I was a bit of an agent of chaos with that one, so.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oops, rest in peace, your inbox.
Yeah, I think the park would appreciate it if, you know, everyone put the disclaimer in there and made sure it was, you know, very much clear that it's not the park that created this.
Yeah, I just didn't expect people to be so bad at reading, man. Who would have thought?
All right, I think that concludes episode 4. As Evan pointed out, if you're working on KIC, feel free to post and join the community and get some rumors about King's Island, like this Giga coaster and video that he created.
Yeah, post your concept, post your ideas. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. That was fun.
No problem. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll be listening to the future podcasts for sure. I'm anxious to see what ideas Robbie has jot down.
Stay tuned.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
You too. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the King's Island Central podcast. KICentral.com is King's Island's ultimate fan site. For more discussion about King's Island and other amusement parks, join us over at KICentral.com.